Good morning. Let's open with prayer. Father, we just come to you now, and we thank you for this privilege we have. And I thank you for the honor that you've entrusted me and the responsibility you've entrusted with me, Lord, to open your word this morning. I don't take it lightly. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, and I thank you for that, but I do ask, Lord, for your help now, because we want to hear your words and not my words. We want your heart, not my heart. So I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us the way we need to be spoken to. You know our needs. You know us intimately. You know our actions before they occur. You know our words before they come off our lips. And you know our thoughts before they even enter our mind. And Lord, the amazing thing is you still love us. So we thank you for that this morning as we look at the importance, Father, of remaining in you, abiding in you, and staying in you. So we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, if you want to go there. We'll read the verses today. This is the last of the I Ams. Over 300 times in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we hear the term I Am, that refers to the Lord. We go back into Genesis and when he said to Abram, I am your shield, right up to Revelation 22, where he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And of course, there's that awesome one that I love is when God was telling Moses that he would lead the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, and he said, "Well, who do I tell them that sent me? Just tell them I am sent you." I lean on those words, because sometimes it's all that I need to remember is that I worship the great I Am, and he's within me, and it's all we need. But we have some more specifics this morning. Let me just go over the I Ams in review. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. That's in John 6:35. He spoke again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's in John 10:9. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What hope we have there. John 11. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. And today we have, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In those three words, we have those two powerful ones, I am, and in each one follows the. Not a, but the. Aren't you so thankful that you have found the way, the truth, and the life? Aren't you so thankful you have the shepherd? Aren't you thankful that you went through the door? And aren't you thankful that you are attached to the true vine that gives all life completely? Let's read our scripture. It's not that long. Starting verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Jesus is addressing his disciples. Remember, we are his disciples as well. These words apply to us this morning. I'm just going to go through this basically verse by verse. I don't really have an outline. I've enjoyed doing that as part of the being part of the Joy Bible study on Wednesday morning, and I'd like to put a plug in for that. If you haven't joined us and you're available on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., join us on Zoom. Don't worry about the homework that comes out. Frankly, I've winged it some days. I didn't do the homework. So don't worry about that, but come. It's a great time of fellowship, a great time to get into God's Word. We have some laughs, and we have a time of prayer, and people put their burdens before We put our burdens before the Lord that day, and it's such a great time. Anyway, we'd love to have as many as we can. Verse 1, I am the true vine. There's three vines in Scripture. First one, Israel was to be the vineyard for God. However, they didn't quite cut the mustard, did they? In Isaiah 5, we read that God was looking for them to produce good fruit, good grapes, but instead produced wild grapes. Ezekiel 15, God speaks of the vine, Israel, like the wood of the forest, which will be burned up. He will turn his face away from them because of their disobedience. If you go to Israel, apparently Jerusalem, you'll see lots of carvings of vines, grapes on them, on walls. There's also the vine of this earth. The vine of this earth is that twisted mess that makes us say every day when we watch the news or hear of something, what is going on? And that twisted vine starts at the very lowest level, from a drug pusher or a pimp on the street, all the way up to the highest levels of government corruption. That's the vine of the world. But God is a just God, and he will deal with that. This is from Revelation chapter 16. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great vine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the wine press up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. That's going to be a bad time, a time that we won't have to see if you know the Lord as your Savior when he returns. And now we have the third vine, the true vine. And we should be thankful we have the true vine. Verse 2, we have branches that do not bear fruit. And Jesus speaks of those. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. those who profess but do not believe are those branches that are removed from the vine. And they may be professing to be on the vine, but there's no fruit. There's no fruit because there's no life. And they will be separated. As opposed to someone who is saved and has put their faith in Jesus Christ, is an indication of fruit. Sometimes minuscule, like my life, but there's fruit. And I'm not here to judge anyone's fruit here. None of us are fruit inspectors. That's for God to prune, and to God to convict, and for God to judge and nudge us in the right direction. The branches that do bear fruit, he says, he will prune, or he will purge. It comes from the Greek katha-iro, if I'm saying that right, where we get the word catharize. Not a pleasant thing, right? If anybody's been very sick in the hospital, has had to experience that. But it needs to be done because sometimes through our natural ways, we can't get the toxins out of our body. And that helps to bring the toxins out, to purge and to purify. The gardener or the husbandman prunes his branches, sometimes just a snip here and a snip there. Sometimes further back, he'll take a blossom where there's going to be grapes. And in that way, the nutrients will go to an area where there'll be more grapes the next year, possibly. I'm told the first 4 years in a vineyard, there's not a whole lot of wine being made, because there's so much pruning and so much preparation of cutting back. And you know, sometimes even the fruit is taken. And sometimes he prunes us right back to Jesus. All the way back. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but those are the times when we're on our face before the Lord. And he's taken us. He's allowed us to hit bottom. And it's a good place to be, because you know what it's all about? It's from the very beginning. It's back to total surrender and total submission and total reliance on him. I always like this verse. Discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure, not in your anger, or you will reduce me to nothing. I always looked at that and said, Lord, for sure, go easy on me, please. I mean, I know I deserve a chainsaw for pruning, but please go gentle on me. And sometimes I need more pruning than I want. Verse 3, Jesus tells the disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remember going back to chapter 13, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet in that beautiful scene. And he gets to Peter. Peter says, Lord, you're not washing my feet. He says, Peter, I say wash your feet. You can't be part of me. He says, okay then, my head, my hands, the whole deal, Lord. And he says, don't you understand, Peter, you're already clean. A person that's already had a bath only needs his feet cleaned. And that's what we need to do every day, is to go before the Lord and make sure our feet are clean. Daily. How do we do that? Through prayer, spending time in his word. A word makes us clean. Constant conversation all day with our Lord. You know what I found? If I include the Lord in a daily conversation all day, I will not be somewhere where I shouldn't be. I will not be with somebody I shouldn't be. I will not be watching something that I shouldn't be if I include him in all of my conversations. I include him when I can't get a rusty nut off it, when I'm working on my car. Lord, you know how upset I get. You know when I'm alone. This is really ticking me off. You know my language at times. You know that's my weak spot. Lord, this is just a nut. Get it. Help me get this in perspective, will you? Verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's our condition. That should be our state. All of our life comes from the vine. And as we see in verse 5, apart from the vine, we can do nothing. The words of this one song, don't laugh at me, it's from Carrie Underwood. I'm not a Carrie Underwood fan, so don't laugh at me. But you know what? If she's going to put the Lord Jesus in her songs, I know she's not a Christian entertainer, but she's an entertainer who's a Christian. And all power to her, she's going to bear fruit out there in the entertainment world, which must be a very hard thing to do. The words go like this, and for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance and save me from this road I'm on. It's humbling, isn't it, to think that, well, I don't bring much to the table. Correction. I don't bring anything to the table. None of us do. Charles Spurgeon says, when I came to the cross to get washed, I brought nothing but my sin. Sobering, eh? That's what we bring. He takes it. He took it. He took it all. If you've traveled by the airlines, I don't know if you remember what the airlines are, but there was one time before COVID, these things called airports. And there were these big tubes with gray things on them called wings, and you'd fly from A to B. Anyway, I miss the vapor trails in the sky. I don't know if you know, but I miss those, seeing those. But if you traveled, you might notice a few pilots pulling their overnight bag and a flight bag on it. And sometimes it was almost like a scrapbook to them because they would decorate them with decals, however you want to say it. I always said decals. And it would be where they've flown other companies, you know, First Air, and or what equipment they've been, or someplace in the world they'd be on. And I remember seeing one that said, God is my co-pilot. I thought, that's cute. Wow, good for him for putting his faith out there in an industry where you don't hear a lot about faith. But then I got thinking, you know what? Whoever put that slogan together, I don't think it was inspired, because God does not want to be our co-pilot. He wants to be our captain. He wants to be in charge. He's the one that needs to take the wheel in our life. You see, in the first part of verse 5, it says, if you remain in him, you will bear much fruit. Often our prayer is, Lord, help me to live my life through you. When instead it should be, Lord, live your life through me. Live your life through me. Turn over to 1 Peter, if you like, chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, and we'll read what the essence is of the fruit that God wants from us. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. All things. Verse 6 is something that has maybe caused a little bit of confusion and maybe misinterpreted. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You know, we preach the truth here at RCF. Once saved, always saved, eternally secure. You can't work your way into salvation, and you can't work your way out of salvation. We know it doesn't come from anything we do. And this verse speaks of those who profess again, as in verse 2, but do not believe. They attach the vine, as they do in verse 2, but they bear no fruit because there is no life. This is all about him. It's not about us. It's our fruit as an offering to him, to glorify him. Remember, Jesus says in Matthew 6, don't be like the hypocrites. When they fast, they disfigure their faces, and they groan, and they moan, and they show their outward appearance as being, look what I'm doing. Or Luke 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week, and I give 10% of everything, and I'm glad I'm not like him and other people. And meanwhile, the tax collector wouldn't even look to the heavens because he was so humbled. The Lord is not interested in our window dressing. He's interested in our heart. I don't want to spend a lot of time on eternal security in verse 6, but let's look at a few verses just because they're great promises and they remind us of our security in the Lord and the promise he has to keep us. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give eternal life to them and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. John 10, 27, 30. And in him, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed. Nobody messes around with the king's seal. When that's put on, that's permanent. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. But in all things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, in some versions, nor demons, Satan, no. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, 37, 38. That should be on all our fridges. You know, and I've witnessed this. Nothing can separate us. And I've witnessed this with somebody who has turned their back on the Lord and gone their own way. And what I see in their life is a searching now, a never-ending searching for something. And they keep coming up dry. Interests, hobbies, entertainment. What? Sure, there's a few laughs here and there, but they're temporary. They're based on circumstances or situations. But there's a searching. And to me, that's the lack of separation from God. That's God saying to them, I'm still here. And you can go wherever you want. You can travel the world. You can try whatever you want. But I'm still here, and I'm still knocking. And I'll be here when you come back. I firmly believe that. Verse 7, we all love the second half of verse 7, don't we? If it only ended there, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. If you remain, stay, abide in me. You see, if we're truly dependent on the vine, truly dependent on the vine, and we're getting all our food and our life completely from the vine, regardless of the pruning or the purging or purifying, our present situation may be very tough. And we know people that are going through incredible storms in their lives. Incredible. Our present situation may be tough, but that's where God has put us. Because when we are solely dependent on the vine for everything, because we can do nothing without him, when we're solely dependent on that, his will becomes our will. And our requests become different. It's, Lord, wherever you put me, just let me glorify you. Whatever situation I'm in, let me glorify you. May my fruit be a message to the world that you have taken this sinner, undeserving of your mercy and grace and love, and made me a saint, made me your child. Lord, may your will be my will. It's not about us, it's about him. And Jesus is the perfect example, isn't he? Remember the garden? Lord, I'm here. I'm so stressed. I'm sweating, it's like blood. My best friends. I've asked them to watch and pray. They're snoring. I've woken them up already, but they're sleeping again. In a few minutes, they'll come for me. And they'll take me away like a dog. And they'll keep me up all night. And they'll put me through some trial that doesn't make any sense, and there's no justice in it. And they'll spit in my face. And they'll slap me. And that very night, the one that I trusted, the one who promised would deny me, I don't even know him. And then, Lord, they're going to take me and they're going to stand me up in front of people and they're going to yell out, give us a criminal, but crucify him. That's what they have for me, Lord. And they're going to nail me to the cross. They're going to beat me and scourge me and pull my beard from my face. Lord, this is ahead of me. And oh yeah, that relationship that we have, that eternal relationship and love that is so deep, it'll be separated. I'll be separated from you. I've never been separated from you before. And there's one other thing. I have to take the sin of everybody, the world upon me. If there's any other way, Lord, take this cup from me. Not my will, but your will. That's the example of the vine. Verse 8 says, This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Do you see a pattern? Verse 2, fruit. Verse 2, more fruit. And here we have much fruit. Are we growing and are we maturing as his disciples? This is what the world needs to see. He needs to see us, our fruit. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I don't know how to add to this, because this is beyond what I can share with you. It's not love like ours. It's not conditional. It's not selfish. It doesn't vacillate. It's, It's not dependent on if it's a nice day or not, or cloudy or sunny, or how someone's treating us. Just want to read this because it just nails it so well. And we've sung it here many times. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid a ransom. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Unchanging. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. 1 John 4:8. I love this quote by William MacDonald. It is a vast, wide, deep, unmeasurable love that passes knowledge and can never be fully comprehended by man. I love this. It is a deep where all our thoughts are drowned. We can't go there. We can't imagine it. We can't even, our thoughts can't take us there. Verse 10, obedience shows love. I know we have to move on here. I don't think I'm going to have to cover everything today. But you know what? To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And when we don't obey and when we fall over and over again, you would think eventually he would say, pack your bags and change your last name because I'm done with you. I give up. But no. He's the father of the prodigal all the time. And I picture the prodigal son walking away. And I wonder if he turned around and saw his father standing on the porch with his hand on his heart saying, I'll be here. I'm not moving. I'm not moving from this spot. And when I see you come back over the horizon, I'm going to run as fast as I can back to you. And I'll be here. Verse 11, that your joy might be complete. There's no better way to have joy than have it complete, right? It's not happiness. It's not an emotion. It's a joy. It's living inside us. We'll just go ahead here. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. I have made known to you. You know what? Do you want to know the news? It's not on CNN or Fox or CTV or ABC or whatever TV. It's right here. This is the news. He shared it all with us, his disciples. And you'd have to be blind not to see, as somebody said the other day, things aren't falling apart. They're falling in place. We're so rushing towards a cashless society. We're rushing towards somebody to solve the problems of the world. And it's our job as branches to show our fruit, to direct as many people who are lost out there in this world with no answers and no hope. Fruit that will last, verse 16, what a wonderful thing, eh? Permanence with the Lord, fruit that will last. Jesus ends with love. Love, love, love. That's what he's all about, if you don't know. And maybe the Beatles had it partly right. All you need is love. But it's not our love. It's not our conditional love. It's not our love that is based on what we get back. He loved us first. He chose us. It's not our love. It's the love of the vine, the true vine. Let's leave here this morning and realize how we need to abide in him, to stay in him, to bear good fruit, to ask him to prune what needs to be pruned. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful words this morning from your word that reminds us, Lord, that how we need you. We can do nothing without you. We bring nothing to you, Lord, except our sin. But you love us, and you forgive us. And it doesn't matter how many times, Father, we fall, how many times we return to that dry well, those weaknesses that we run to. Instead of fleeing the devil, sometimes we run to him. It doesn't matter how many times, Lord, we're a prodigal. You always welcome us back, and your love never changes. And it is beyond what we can comprehend. I look forward to it someday when I'm in your presence and it hits me that how vast it is. But for now, Lord, may we go from here abiding in you so that our joy may be complete. And may we be obedient to you. May we desire because we get joy from being obedient to you. We love you, Lord, and we ask you for the blessing on the rest of this morning as we remember you and we remember that great sacrifice at Calvary for us, and we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.